It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hey there, welcome to the program. You know, big words give me a headache. I'm not going to use any big words. You have to remember how to pronounce them. And that's work. Scott,
I hear you. I hear you. I'm going to use all one and two syllable words.
Outstanding. Well, let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Much going on? Not much going on?
Kind of an unexciting trade for Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, just kind of lackluster, you know, keeping an eye on earnings coming in, and they're mixed. I guess I'd say they're mixed.
But you're not happy. Anytime it's a negative market, you know, it just kind of puts, it's like throwing a cold towel on you.
I don't mind these minorly negative markets.
Okay.
Dow down 82 points on Wednesday's trade, NASDAQ down 11, S&P down 5. That's no big deal. Gold down 10, continued weakness in gold back to 1640. A little bit of weakness in oil, down $1.50 to 102, 10-year yields at 198. So really most of that is just a whole lot of not much, is really what it came down to. Lots of earnings announcements this week, as we have been discussing all week. In the overnight, Intel and IBM, really two of the real bellwethers in technology, announced. So some kind of interesting trends there. They're both actually coming in pretty well, although the shares for both of them sold off pretty heavily. Actually, both were either in line or beat earnings expectations as well as revenue expectations. But the problem is they're not participating in the tablet market.
Why?
They're just late to it. IBM is still focusing on service contracts and things like that. That's their real big revenue growth generator. Intel has a company coming out called the Ultrabook, which is going to be their touch-based tablet. And they came out and they said, we expect the Ultrabook to take 40% of the consumer notebook market.
Okay.
40%.
That's a lot. You know, here's my question, Scott. Why doesn't somebody just go ahead and just leapfrog, jump over it, but come out with something really earth-shattering?
Well, remember we talked about the Google Eye set?
That's a start.
Yeah, that's a start. I mean, that's a big change.
I mean, I want my holographic watch, or I want my personal assistant that I just say her name and she, or his name, and this animated thing that pops up in a holographic form. Let's get on with it, man.
Well, I'm sure you saw Tupac Shakur at the at the concert, the big festival concert that they do out west, and he did a part of his show in a hologram form, so it's coming.
All right, well, we'll just have to bide our time with tablets in the meantime.
Yeah, so earnings from IBM and Intel, pretty big news. Qualcomm had an earnings announcement just before we walked in here that was a really good earnings announcement, actually beat on revenue and beat on earnings, but shares actually sold off fairly sharply because they had some lowered guidance going into next quarter, so not such great news there. More corporate news, Berkshire Hathaway. Mr. Buffett announced that he is in stage one of prostate cancer. Sounds like, from all accounts, really not that big of a deal for an 80-year-old man. He's going to start treatment in July.
Well, I think it's serious. I think it's something we need to watch, and I hope he does well with it. You know, hopefully it'll get taken care of.
Still a big shadow over their succession plans. This has not inspired them.
This raises the question even more, right?
Yeah, it's becoming a more and more important question. They have not really done anything to really satisfy investors' ideas with that. Apple higher on the day for most of the day, not just moderately higher. Goldman Sachs raised their price target. So Goldman Sachs, when they speak, you know, more like a little bit like E.F. Hutton, people listens a little bit more than some of this other nonsense we've been seeing about people putting $1,000 price targets and $1,001 price targets. It's all kind of silly. And here's a strange one from a natural gas company called Chesapeake Energy.
Yeah, it's on my stack of stuff.
CEO's in big trouble.
What in the world is this guy doing?
He either is or he isn't in big trouble. They have a history of doing nonsensical stuff at Chesapeake. The CEO has borrowed $1.1 billion over the last 3 years from the company to invest in his share of wells that they drill. And then he uses that asset, his ownership in that share of well, to borrow to put money into the next well. So he's leveraged to the hilt and has been borrowing money from the company to keep his stake in these wells. It's a minor stake, 2.5% stake or so, but he uses that stake as collateral for the loan. Over the last 3 years, it totals about a little over $1 billion.
Okay, well, here's the issue, which I'm sure you've already thought of, Scott, is that they better be getting a lot of natural gas, because this is natural gas we're talking about, and the price has never been lower.
Yeah.
Or it hasn't been lower in a long time.
And Chesapeake has a really significant cash shortfall because of those prices. So a lot of this was not disclosed to investors in a timely fashion. The company's got some cash flow troubles. None of it really looks good for Chesapeake going forward.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue our report on all the things that are going on in the world that you need to know about. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Back, Scott and I were comparing on the break, kind of the difference between this Chesapeake guy. What's his name?
Aubrey McClendon.
Aubrey McClendon. That's a high dollar name.
Yeah, that's a big name.
So we were talking about and comparing him to Zuckerman of
Facebook.
Yeah,
Zuckerberg of Facebook. How does this guy's board at Chesapeake allow him to borrow $1.1 billion and not disclose it to shareholders? And then the other side of that coin is a company like Facebook. Zuckerberg has 57% of the controlling interest. He gets together with his buddies over the weekend and he says, hey, I know you have this company, Instagram. I'll give you $1 billion for it. Let me just go tell the board. Hey, by the way, board, I bought Instagram for $1 billion. And I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll tweet you a photo.
We're going to talk a lot about Italy and Spain in the next couple of days. Spain, big auction on Thursday. 2- and 10-year bonds. So we'll see what the market appetite is for
those. I'm going to be surprised, Scott, if it's positive. I really am. Because I tell you what, I've been doing a lot of homework. You've been seeing me work on my little spreadsheet over here that I'm holding in my hand. I've been working on this. I love spreadsheets. You know, when you start your career as a CPA, you love spreadsheets. And I've been working through and looking at the debt of these different countries. And I tell you what, I think Spain has got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They had an auction earlier this week that there was a lot of demand for, but yields were up. I think anything that comes in inside of 7% on the 10 is probably going to be seen at least as a moderate success. Italy in the news on Wednesday basically said that we told you we were going to have a balanced budget next year, but we're not going to have it till 2014. We think the economy is contracting by about 1.2%, which isn't helping. And then the IMF comes out, the International Monetary Fund, and they say, you're not going to have a balanced budget in 2014. You'll be lucky to have one by 2017. And by the way, your economy is contraction closer to 1.9%. So
IMF is telling them what their budget is and what their actual GDP numbers are.
Yeah, but they have to. I mean, they can't just tell the IMF to go jump in a lake. They have to respond to what they have to say. So
because they're the money train.
That's right. That's where the money comes from. So we'll see what happens with all that. But Italy is not exactly in the catbird seat either. Although the IMF did also tell Italy, take it easy on the austerity, because if you really hammer down the austerity, then your contraction goes from 1.9% to 2.7 or 3.5 or whatever.
Yeah, and that's really one of the things that is the, you know, careful what you wish for, be careful with the deal you make with the devil here, because part of the deal of getting this money, these loans from the IMF and all these other places or the European Central Bank and all this stuff comes with a big commitment to say, okay, you're going to do the following things.
Yeah.
If you don't, we won't give you more money.
Yeah, the good news for Italy is that now they have Monti, this Mario Monti, in the driver's seat. So when he says things like, we're working on it, we're trying to get things under control.
He means it.
Yeah, the market's like, okay, well, he means it. I mean, he's got to be a little bit positive just because that's his position. The old guy that had Berlusconi, if he said, listen, we're going to balance the budget by 2014, they would have laughed him out of Europe. So it's better in Italy than it was not too long ago.
Well, the thing that I look at here, Scott, is that this austerity, you know, what austerity means is the government has to clamp down on their budgets and they have to fire people.
Yeah.
And it adds to the unemployment. Yeah. They have to reduce the services or goods that they purchase on behalf of the country. A lot of scaling back. Think about military. Military can't spend as much. You can't buy new stuff from people that make stuff for the military.
Yeah.
It affects the whole country. And you talk about shrinking a country the size of Italy, which, according to my handy-dandy spreadsheet, I'm looking at a GDP of $1.8 trillion, American dollars. So $1.8 trillion, you cut a couple percent off that. That's a big number.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the thing that really, and let's talk, do you want to talk about Spain a little bit, or is that all you're going to talk about?
I've
got a couple things on
I have a couple more things that I really want to tell you today.
On Spain or something else?
No.
Okay, let me finish with Spain.
All right.
All right, then we'll come back home.
Okay.
Spain. The Atlantic, which is, I've been following them. They've got a pretty good article now and then they write here. And they use a great analogy for what's going on with this austerity. And they said, let's try this thought experiment. Imagine you walk into the bank, told them you were going to be taking pay cuts, okay, for the next few years and then ask them for a loan.
Yeah. And I have a proven ability to mismanage my money.
Right. And so they'll laugh you right out of the bank.
Right.
Or they'll charge you an interest rate so high that it's just obscene. So if you're in debt and your income is shrinking, it's going to be real hard to pay back what you already own. And that's where you're going to get kind of an indication of the market's assessment of that with these 10-year bond auctions.
Yeah, so we'll see. It should be very telling on Thursday.
Spain's debt. Okay, let's go to Spain. Spain has, their GDP is $1.4 trillion U.S. dollars. Their debt is $915 billion, 65% of their budget, of their GDP. It's a big number.
It's a big number.
And they've got a lot of fundamental problems.
Yeah, so, I think the bigger problems for them are more base economic problems.
Yeah.
Unemployment rates, you know, tax collection rates, all that kind of stuff. It's the operational stuff that I
think is killing
them.
Here's the number one problem Spain has, as well as some of these other European countries. They're on the euro. The euro keeps them. They can't print their own money. It's killing them. I'm going to make a prediction, Scott, and this is not, people aren't going to like this one. I don't think the Eurozone common currency is going to survive the way it is now. I think we're going to see some defections. They might stay in the European Union, but I do not think that the Eurozone and this common currency is going to stay. I don't think it works for these countries that need to be independently making decisions that allow them to inflate and expand their monetary supply and be able to do the things that they need to do to devalue their currency.
Yeah, but those countries are so weak. I think if it's going to disband, it's more likely to be from the other side of a country like Germany saying, what am I doing? What am I in this for?
Well, okay, so both sides. It's a bad marriage, and I think both parties are going to want out of it. So what does that mean? I know this is a really big question, but what does that mean for the investor?
The unwinding of the Eurozone is no small task. It undoes a number of trade agreements. It undoes a number of free trade channels and things like that. So it is no small thing. And then you also have to recalibrate the value of basically everything with a new currency, whether or not it's going to inflate or deflate. So
it's kind of like what went through with Germany with their unification, but on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, the level of uncertainty that comes with that, I think, is bigger than anything we've dealt with in recent past. Certainly bigger than, I think, the uncertainty that we went through in 2008 and not really knowing what was going on with the banks.
Okay. All right. I know you got more. You want to take a quick break, Lisa? We're going to take a quick break. Scott's got some very, I can see it over there. He won't show me what it is. Good stuff after the break. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. Scott, I know you've got some stuff there you didn't get to before the break.
I do have a couple things. I'm going to save the country with the help of my friends at the Associated Press, I think. I'm going to save the country about $14 billion a year.
Our country.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, based on the ideas of Harvard economist Jeffrey Miron, Harvard economist, says that if, and this, now this is a report that he put together that has been signed off on by 300 economists, including Nobel laureates, who have signed this petition to basically say, hey, everybody needs to take a look at this. If you legalize marijuana, it saves, let's call it $8 billion by not having to enforce prohibition on the drug. And then on top of that, if you tax it the same way you tax alcohol and tobacco, we can get up to about $14 billion a year in savings. Why not?
What savings and revenue.
Savings and revenue. Although I have seen other numbers that put that number closer to $45, maybe $50, $60 billion per year.
Well, you know, it's interesting about that. If you did that, then you could get rid of this whole Buffett rule thing that these millionaires, the tax change for them is about $5 billion a year. So let's not fight. Let's
this
all,
is better.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. You know, really, if it's not completely outside the realm of
in other words,
thought.
In the scheme of things, it, you know, is it like okay, enough and enough's enough? Let's just let people smoke them if they got them, and
yeah, I mean,
and tax
you can't just say just everybody do everything and we'll tax all of it. But there are degrees of sin, right? So
some people are really uptight about that. I can understand. Law enforcement obviously has some concerns about that. But you know what? From the standpoint of how people might choose to behave with it, it's a lot like alcohol.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get behind the wheel of a car,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter if you're under the influence of marijuana, alcohol, heavy doses of painkillers or other medications.
Yeah, they're all bad.
You know, I've had surgery before when I was loopy on some of that stuff.
Yeah, they're all bad, no question. So there's just a little thought to throw out there. And then also, I want to talk
you're trying to help, Scott Connor. Congratulations.
Right.
You know what?
Much.
You need to send, you should send that proposal to the congressional leaders and see what they
hey,
think.
Hey, if this guy from Harvard can't get him to look at it, they're not going to listen to me. Here's some information on something that you and I have talked about in the past that neither one of us are tremendous fans of, self-directed IRAs.
Yeah, I think there's a problem area.
Two custodians of self-directed IRAs are being sued in U.S. District Court in L.A. by three investors. They're trying to get class action status that basically say they're money managers of these so-called self-directed IRAs took their money. A self-directed IRA is a device that is used to invest in non-traditional assets. So you can have IRA tax sheltered money and buy a rental property. You can buy
gold.
Hard gold, hard silver, stuff like that.
Okay.
But they're not like IRAs that we manage that are held at Fidelity. You know, so you can
right.
see the statement. You can go to the Fidelity branch. The Fidelity guys can pull them up. They're very sort of
it's not
shadowy.
As formal.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
as formal. It's another dark pool we got to watch out not step in.
Yeah, very much. So Equity Trust Company and N-Trust Group Incorporated.
I've heard of N-Trust.
Yeah, I think they're pretty big players in that game. Basically said that, don't worry, these things are safe and nothing can happen. And the next thing you know, clients who had $20,000 of their entire life savings that they wanted to put into gold through some misguided attempt to protect wealth ended up with nothing. One case in this report that I saw in the Wall Street Journal, this lady actually knew all her money was gone and she was still getting statements that said she had $20,000.
That's crazy.
So you can't be too careful out there. There is so much value in a really good, solid, well-known, trustworthy custodian, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, things like that, that you can go to the branch, you can see your statements. The statements come from them. You know they're reputable.
You know, it's the grass is always greener. It's everybody, well, not everybody, but there are a lot of people say, if I can just go where nobody's been before, if I can just Sounds like Star Trek, I know. But if I can just get there and I'll just, you know, I had a client one time, Scott, and this is before you joined our company, and great guy. I thought the world of him. But he traveled around the world. He had gotten divorced and he was a traveler, no kids. And so he was just free spirit. And he just traveled everywhere. And he got into something one time where he was exploring there was money that was never circulated and he was going to get in on it. And then there was another deal where there was this is funny. There was this big gold statue that he was going to invest in. And there, you know, I mean, so, and it was because he's like, if I could just get that. And almost always we've had law enforcement on this show before, and we'll get them back in to talk about this, but it's almost always a scam.
Like my Glacier guy.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Well, the Glacier guy was at least a little bit more professional about it. But you know what? The message, and I've got this in the book on how to get great advice and avoid scams. The message that people need to stick with is that you put your money in three places: the bank or the credit union, the insurance company, or the brokerage account, the custodial account. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to go searching over that next hilltop that you're going to go across and then you're going to see utopia. You don't need that. And as Scott said, there's a lot of value in knowing that your money is safe. I saw a thing the other day where, you know, the somebody thought their money was there and it's not.
Yeah.
I've got one lady that recently became a client, and she told us she had invested in a car wash business. And she feels very good that it's legit. But I couldn't help myself. My eyebrows popped up. They went just like Lisa's. They popped right up on the top of my forehead. I said, I hope it's real. And so this stuff, you don't have to go seeking, you know, one of the things in investment world, we talk about seeking alpha. Seeking alpha is trying to get the best manager that's going to give you their insight and make that good trade to make money for you.
Right.
But you don't have to constantly pursue. It's okay to stick with the tried and true.
Yeah, and you have to measure any level of return with the level of risk that it comes with.
Well, how do you put a number on the risk you're taking by getting into some of this exotic stuff?
Yeah, so you'd have to have a, you know, a fairly good idea that you're going to get really an outrageous return to make those things to trade off.
But you can't. But see, here's the problem with that. That makes sense for somebody who's got a huge portfolio and it's only 10% or 1% of your portfolio.
Right.
But when you're going all in, you really would be better off going to Vegas and putting it on black or red.
Yeah, at least you know the casino will pay you.
And at least, you know your odds are clear.
Yeah.
You know, I had a law enforcement gentleman, a detective, share with me a story about a guy that, I know I'm going long on this segment, Lisa, but this is really, really key for people to hear out there. They're listening to the program. He shared with me a story about a gentleman who literally had one of these deals where it was, we'll get you the money and, you know, it's been in this account. It's been frozen because I'm a monarch or my dad was the monarch and I'm the prince. He got wrapped up in that. He flew overseas. He went overseas and he brought whatever it was, the equivalent of a money order or whatever it was, the ability to give them money. And there was a briefcase with all these never circulated or this money. And it turns out that they had, on the outside were a couple of real bills, and then on the inside was just paper.
Yeah.
But it was all this money, and he was supposedly, and it was all one big fat scam. He was lucky to get out of there with his life.
Yeah.
But he lost all of his money.
Terrible.
Horrible. So don't chase it, ladies and gentlemen. You just are better off sticking with the straight down the middle. Don't go to the esoteric or exotic. Go with just stuff that works. Hire a professional money manager. Find an advisor you trust and let them do their job. All right. Let's take a break, Lisa. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Well, I'm just blowing through my breaks today, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I've got one more section of our program I want to share with you today. And it really kind of echoes what we just talked about before the break, about trying to get out there and find these home runs. We have the lottery. We have these things. You have Vegas. But when it comes to investing, there's so many things that you can do to get your finances right. The truth is, and this you could take it from me, the truth is this stuff is actually not that complicated. Now, some of the products, some of the stuff out there, it's fancy. It's not what you do all day. It's not what you're familiar with. It's like surgery. Okay, if you need surgery, you've got something medically wrong with you. You know, opening up a person and taking something out that's not working or fixing something that needs to be fixed. Really, if you think about it, it's not that complicated, but it's the skill that's required to actually use that scalpel or use the technology to do the operation. It's not complicated, but it just requires skill. Same as with finances. And so, you know, when you look at all these things out there, they're all complicated things, but the basic approach or what you're trying to accomplish with your investing and your financial planning and your retirement is really not that complicated. You got to have cash on hand. Take care of emergencies. I just met with a client and we talked about taking some money out of their account and she didn't have enough of an emergency fund. She had something come up. She had used that money. And so we're reevaluating her investments to come up with some emergency cash money. We're doing it on our timetable, not when an emergency occurs. So she's got the money before she needs it, which is the way to do it. So you don't have to sell perhaps when the market's down. So number one, you got to have cash. You got to have that cash emergency fund. Number two, you got to deal with healthcare and or long-term care, depending on how old you are. Pretty simple. You need health insurance. And if you are retired or approaching retirement, you need to look at that long-term care. It's not free. You got to pay a premium each year. You got to pay for the insurance unless you don't have any money. And then Medicaid will be the solution. Our government offered and taxpayer funded healthcare system. The Medicaid basically is money that is paid when you don't have the money to provide get the long-term care. So healthcare and long-term care insurance. Debt. We are a nation of debt. In fact, I'm working on my little spreadsheet, and what I'm finding out is that the world is full of debt. And going through and looking at these numbers, I'm looking at some of the bigger countries. You know, United States, we're at $15.5 trillion. Japan has almost $12 trillion. Spain, we were talking about, is closing in on $1 trillion. And so I'm going to finish my analysis and see what we've got. But these numbers are just astronomical. But it's also individuals. A lot of people have debt. If you've got debt and you've addressed these other things, work off those higher interest debt and work your way through that and try to pay that off as you can. It's not a crime to enter retirement with debt, but just want to work on it and stay focused on it. And income, you've got to have income when you get into retirement because you're not working anymore. A lot of baby boomers are finding that they need to work a little longer because of the impact on their investing and the decline in values, and they're trying to rebuild. If you've got a good paying job, you like it, stick with it, keep doing it. But if you're retired or you're getting close to retirement, you want to get that income component built into place. A lot of the ways to do that. Again, this stuff is not that complicated. Cash, emergency fund, healthcare, long-term care, focus on high-interest debt, arrange for an income plan. I build income plans every day for people. Say, here's how you're going to get your income for the rest of your life. It's not that complicated. Now, some of the tools I use might be a little more involved, but that's the job of the advisor to pick those and explain those to you in plain English. And growth is next. You've got to have long-term growth because of what? Say it with me. Inflation. Inflation is going to be big. It's coming back. It's going to run hot. We're not the Federal Reserve and our monetary policy and our government. We can't mess up the economic growth and reduce employment by raising interest rates anytime soon. It's just not going to happen. So you've got to have the growth to protect you. And you do that through long-term investments. And you get your estate planning documents put in place so that if you can't make decisions, somebody else can. And when you're done with this, it goes to who you want. Not that complicated, ladies and gentlemen. You just got to understand the things that need to happen and then get the help that you need to make it work and get it done right. All right. tune in tomorrow's show and we'll do more of that. Thank you for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.